Would you please turn your Bible to Psalm 75? And we will start at the verse 1. And let's stop and pray. Father, there's many people with many opinions. There's a saying that everyone has a nose, everyone has an opinion. One matters to us is what you wrote in your word, your voice. We want to follow your command that is written in your word. That gives us a hope, encouragement, and guidance. Father, open our heart to receive your word. And asking you your anointing from the Holy Spirit be upon us that we may understand your truth. And most of all, let us apply your truth in our lives. Father, we pray for the President Obama for his salvation and protection for our troops and law enforcement personnel and firefighters. And we ask you to watch over them and keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 75, please. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous work. Declare that your name is near. When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillar from the Selah. In case you don't know what the meaning of Selah means, pause, stop for a while. Verse 4, I said to the boastful, do not deal boastfully, and to the wicked, do not lift up your horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup. The wine is red, it is fully mixed, and he poured it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down. That I will declare forever, I will sing praise to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will also cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Stop there, please. Thanksgiving Day, I know this sounds like Thanksgiving Day message, but in a way, yeah, it is. It's not something I planned, it just happened to be that way. Don't think that it's a coincidence, because in God, there's no coincidence. Thanksgiving Day became nothing more than a day of football game, right? Thank goodness ASU is no longer in the sight. Football game on TV, and we eat and eat until our stomach says, uncle. Of course, it used to be the day before Black Friday. The one day, all the merchants wait, the retailers wait for an entire year because they know they're going to have a lot of business. But they came up with a brand new idea. They call it Olive Black Friday, and they open their store in the evening of the Thanksgiving. They will do anything, making money. You know what? I don't have a problem with making money. As long as they have a principle of the Thanksgiving. Somehow, Satan and his cohorts convinced the people in America. And they effectively removed the principle of Thanksgiving from the minds of the people. And that's unbelievers. I don't think that Christians are all that different when it comes to the giving thanks to the Lord. Just like many little children, we have to be reminded to be thankful to the Lord. When the good things happen, somehow we take the credit for it instead of giving thanks to the Lord. I'm grateful to the Lord. I don't do it all the time, but when good things happen, I learn to say, thank you, Lord. Did you notice what I said? I learned. I had to be taught by the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. You guys know this by heart. Go there anyway. Verse 6 in chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing. Get that? Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, there's a two things, actually three things. By prayer, supplication, with what? With what? Okay, let's say one more time out loud. Thanksgiving. We will explain it. We will learn that more. Let your request be made known to God. Let me say this. Whenever we pray to the Lord, we should acknowledge whom we are praying to. What He has allowed us to have so far and what He will do for us. It is so easy for us to concentrate on what we want from Him so much that we often forget that whom we are speaking to, the God of the entire universe, who is not owned by us or anyone by any means, rather who owns everything and everyone, including us. He is not our slave whom we call with a little bell. He's not on our beck and call. And we are supposed to be His servant as the follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes. And let's not forget that. He is not our slave. The Lord is abundantly patient. And the time will come for Him to judge all mankind. Though He may let the wicked prolong they go on unpunished, seems like it. And even the godly people pray for their request and seems like it unanswered. The Lord will suddenly introduce appointed time for judgment. So whoever thinks that they are getting away with murder or other things, that time will come, they have to answer to the mighty judge. The oracle of God given in here verse 2 and 4 of Psalm 74 are assurance to His people that He is faithful to fulfill His promises. Regardless how long the adversity may last, He is sovereign and the time appointed will come for their vindication. The Lord is in control. Can you say it with me? The Lord is in control. And even when it seems like everything is falling apart, there are three things that goes hand in hand in human corruption. I want you to pay attention to this. There are three things. First, pride, idolatry, and immorality. I'm sure that all humanistic scholars and liberal biblical scholars would adamantly disagree with me on this. But I get this conclusion from the Word of God and human history. Let me ask you this. Show me one ancient kingdom that's still existing in spite of the immorality and idolatry and pride. You cannot find anything. For example, Egypt, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, to name a few. With the exception of Israel, all the ancient kingdoms, ancient nations went down the drain. Only reason why the Israelites are still existing is due to the God's promise to their people and to their land and His faithfulness, not because of their own merit and their own power. Because they have nothing to show for. Every ancient kingdom that embraced their own idol worship and with a pride and rampant immorality came to ruin. I know the liberal people will say that, well, Rome did not went down the drain because of homosexuality. Yes, it is. Even the modern day nations that once flourished with a splendor around the world, because they upheld the Lord, they put God first priority, and they did well. And now, on the way to ruin. two of the best examples are the United Kingdom and America. And you may say, why United Kingdom? United Kingdom was known as its colonies and the sun never set because they were all around the world. They had land just about every corner of the earth because they put God first. And this, now, you cannot find a Bible teaching church there very easily anymore. We send a lot of missionaries to the United Kingdom. And they have a gigantic cathedral in London, and the place is empty. Why? Because they desert God. Not only that, the people in these two countries, they rather worship, instead of worshiping the Lord, they rather worship themselves and celebrities. And instead of honoring their marriage, they rather pursue their sexual pleasure. And instead of seeking the truth, they rather demand their distorted way to be accepted over truth. If they don't get their way, they call the other people who stand for the truth bigots and other horrible names. In verse 5 of chapter 75, we find the word horn, and which is Koran in Hebrew word. The word horn in Old Testament often represents the power. This is the case in point. Verse 6 and 7 of this chapter are the verses all of us should memorize and keep in our heart as we just memorize that verse. We are living in the age of dog-eat-dog world. Am I right? We are into self-promotion. And we must realize that no promotion or no exaltation will come unless the Lord grants it. However, I want you to pay attention to me, please. We also must realize that God may grant what we want so bad, even though that may not be what God wants. He allowed us to have what we want so that He can teach us lessons. I said this before, and I will say now, I will say it again and again, the worst thing we can do is getting what we want, when that is not what God wants. Did you get that? Don't ask for what you want over what God wants. I know a pastor who told me this. He said, yeah, I bought that Oldsmobile, the brand new car, and I knew that I was not supposed to buy that brand new car, that Oldsmobile. God told me not to buy it, but I want that car so bad, so I bought it. And from that moment, I was regretting every moment of it. Have you ever heard of lemon? You know, the car lemon? And it's not because it's shaped of a lemon. That car falls apart every time you turn around. He got that one. Let's go to chapter 78, verse 1. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. In Solomon also is His tabernacle and His dwelling place in Zion. There He broke the arrow of the bow, shield and the sword of battle, Selah. You are more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted were plundered. They have sunk into their sleep, and none of the mighty men have found the use of their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horse were cast into the deep sleep. You yourself are to be feared, and you may stand in your presence when once you are angry. And you cause the judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. Verse 9, when God arose to judgment to deliver all the oppressed of the earth, Selah. As we read this portion of scripture, some of you might be wondering where the Salem is. It certainly is not a Salem, Oregon. is Jerusalem. It's a nickname for Jerusalem. And the first mention of Siloam is mentioned in Genesis chapter 14. Keep your finger there. Go to Genesis, the first book of Old Testament. Genesis chapter 14. And we will see the name that probably most of us cannot spell. King name Melchizedek. Verse 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out the bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. We will study more about the King Melchizedek when we study the book of Hebrews. By the way, we're going to study the book of Hebrews from when? Next week. So I want you to read ahead, please. It's a great book. All right. Among those biblical scholars, there are different opinions about the King Melchizedek. Chapter 76. So what else is new? They always argue with one another, right? One says this particular chapter was written by the descendant of Asaph, who wrote many of the Psalms, regarding the captivities, free from the captivities of the Assyrians. So it particularly is for that the freedom from the Assyrian. But other group of Bible scholars will say, well, no, it's not for that. It's kind of in general. But they both agreed on one thing. It's regarding the victorious the Lord. When we are facing our own giants of life, it is easy to crumble under the sheer presence of pressure that mount up against us, whether it's illness, finance, or family relationship. You guys don't have a problem with a family, do you? I must be the only one who has a dysfunctional family. But the Lord is faithful, amen, to be there with us all the time, not necessarily getting us out of each and every situation. He's there. He's our protector, He's our shield, and He's our stronghold. However, make no mistake about this. Satan and his cohort demons are strong enemies. We need to have a healthy respect for our enemies, for their power. But we also must understand that God has no rival. Somehow, we tend to think that, well, maybe God had to fight against these demons over and over and over. No, if God chooses to say, you're not, then they're gone. But He used those demonic forces to train us, to strengthen us. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, please. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The reason we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might is because Satan wants to take us away from that. The Lord is our power base. Did you get that? The Lord is our power base. The devil wants to separate us from God. The moment he takes us away from him, we are open prey and we are sitting duck. Thus, the devil wants to put the wedge between God and us by discouraging us and keeping us away from the prayer and the Bible. Especially when we sin against the Lord, the first one will come to us to condemn us as demons. Speak to our heart, condemning us for what we have done. Even if we ask God to forgive our sins, and He is there to remind us our sins all the time. When demons and other people remind your past, your sinful past, remind them what the demons end up, where demons going to end up. Remind his future. See, Satan and his cohort will do anything to discourage us and keep you away from the Word of God, away from the fellowship with the godly people and away from the church. And there was, oh, you don't need to go to church. You can do everything you can do in the church at home. Or watch TV. There's a preachers on TV. Yeah, you can. You can learn the Word of God from the TV or internet. But you don't have a fellowship with them. I used this example before. When you do the barbecue, if you're going to do a good barbecue, you have to put all the charcoals together, right? While it's burning hot, you take one charcoal away from that pile and isolate it by itself. What happened to that charcoal? Is it still burning? No. That amber become black. And pretty soon, it'll become ice cold. You walk away from the fellowship of Jesus Christ and without the believers, that's what you're going to be. Satan will do anything to set you apart, separate you from the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Do not fall into that trap. Go to chapter 77, please, verse 1. I cry to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and He gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night and without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Can you understand what this man is going through? We all been there. You hold my eyelid open. I was so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the day of old, the years of ancient time. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart. My spirit makes it diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Has His mercy ceased forever? Has His promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. Verse 10. And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I want you to underline the word remember. And I will, verse 11, I will remember the work of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deed. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the people. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. Some time ago, I read a story that tragedy left a family with a void that cannot be filled. Toddler chasing after a cat, wandered into the road and ran over by the delivery truck. And 4-year-old girl was watching her mother and father holding the lifeless body. They made such an impression on her. For years, a cold emptiness at that moment encapsulated the entire family member. Feeling was frozen. The only comfort was numbness. The relief was unimaginable. Author Anne Voskamp, the author of the New York Times bestseller 1,000 Gifts, was that 4-year-old girl. And sorrow surrounding her sister's death formed her view of life and God. While she grew up, and the little concept of joy and grace. Joy was an idea has no basis in real life to Anne. But as a young mother, she set out to discover the elusive things in the Bible called joy. The word joy, she found this. Joy and grace comes from the Greek word chairo, and which she found out that in the center of the Greek word thanksgiving. So she wondered, could it be this simple? So to test her discovery and decide to give thanks to the thousand gifts she already has. It can be simply a life itself or breathing or whatever. She started to count that thousand things. She started slowly but soon gratefulness to the Lord was flowing freely. Just as the Lord Jesus gave thanks before, not after Lazarus was risen from the grave. Boskamp discovered that giving thanks brought to life and feeling of joy that died along with her sister. In other words, joy of a living comes from the heart of a thanksgiving for the Lord. See where I'm going? In chapter 75, talked about thanksgiving. Chapter 76 talked about God is our protector. While we studying this chapter 77, in my opinion, chapter 77 combines and sums up two previous chapters. While we're giving thanks to the Lord for His love and faithfulness, He shows Himself strong in our heart. Are you with me? Consequently, the terrifying giants in our life all of a sudden lose their facade and show their actual size as just another obstacle in life that we must overcome. Listen to me, please. God has been, and God is, and God will be always the same. The reflection of His act in the past is comforting to those who need Him in the present and the future. The name of the Most High in verse 10 goes back to the patriarch Abraham in Genesis chapter 14. So turn to Genesis chapter 14, please. Chapter 14, verse 22. Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. The Hebrew word for the Most High is El Elyon. Its annotation is the creator and the protector of creation. He has promised in the Bible that He protects His own and will not leave nor forsake them. If He does not, guess what? His reputation is on the line. Don't ever, ever think that God will desert you, God will forsake you. He's not going to ruin His reputation just because of you. I like that one particular phrase in the Bible. Are His arms too short that He cannot protect you? Are His ears too deaf that He cannot hear your prayer? Go to 2 Samuel chapter 22, please. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3. The God of my strength, in whom I will trust. I don't know what you're going through right now. It can be family problem. It can be your illness. It can be your finance. Whatever the situation is, God is your shield. There He is. God is my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn, the power of salvation. My stronghold and my refuge. My Savior, You saved me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Now go to the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, please. The Lord is what? faithful, exactly, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Jesus said, no one can snatch them out of my hand. And if that's not enough, Jesus promised them one more time, no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Double whammo. You are well protected. Four applications. Number one, we don't need more to be thankful for. Rather, we just need to be more thankful for what we already have. Second application, it is the Lord who decides who gets promoted, not us. He is our master, not us. And we are mere servant of God. Third application, this is important. Safety is not the absence of danger, but rather presence of God. Fourth application, true joy comes from the thanksgiving to the Lord in spite of the situation we are in. Don't say, God, if you get me out of this, I'll give you thanks. No. While you are in that situation, neck deep or eyeball deep, you still give thanks to the Lord. And you may say, well, I'm facing death. Okay, stop there. All of us have a somewhat fear for the death, don't we? Okay, are you a born-again Christian? Anyone who are not born-again Christian, raise your hand. Okay, so in case this whole building collapse, we die right now. Then what happened? We go to be in heaven with the Lord, right? Would you prefer the earth over heaven? If you do, you need a head exam. Point is, there's nothing for you to fear. God promised that He will take care of you. You can take that. Oh, never mind the bank. They're not so good anymore. Take it home. Yeah, whatever that is.